Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Admiral Gary Ruffhead, United States Navy retired, and Professor Joe Felter, both of the Hoover Institution, entertaining Taiwan, the defense of Taiwan, what Taiwan needs to do. But I come to the U.S. Navy. Admiral, you identify the Navy as the first mover. You also identify the forces that the PLA Navy now can put in the water. A large number of ships. We're talking about the bastion seas around China. We're talking about the first island chain when we talk about Taiwan. And you remind all of us that Ernest King, the famous chief of naval operations, called it the cork in the bottle. The U.S. Navy, is it adequately supplied? Does it have the ships it needs in East Asia to discourage adventurism by Beijing, Admiral?
No, I mean, my view is that given the changing nature of military forces, particularly PRC military forces, that we really need to think about biasing more naval and air forces to the West. During my time, we had about a 50-50 Pacific Atlantic split. We moved that to 60-40. And I advocate that it really needs to be more of an 80-20. And that of that 80% that would be in the Pacific, we should have more forces forward so that they can respond more promptly. I think it's also important that we provide the logistics capacity to reinforce those forces as would be required, not only in a conflict, but just during periods of high tension where you're using a lot of sensors and you're using a lot of fuel, that we have to be prepared for that increased tempo of operations. The other thing I think that's important is we really need to give a good look at what is the command structure and how will we command and control those forces in the Western Pacific. You know, for all intents and purposes, the command structure is how it has been since the end of World War II, and things have changed, not just in the numbers that we're dealing with, but in the ability to disrupt operations in that very, very vast area of ocean and airspace. And the reason I use the term Navy being the first mover is in the last administration, the Secretary of the Navy began to create new structures that would allow, in my view, the Navy to operate more effectively, that it would be able to work through disruptions that you have to anticipate would be imposed by China. And so I think that in addition to the things, you know, the ships and the airplanes and the troops, we really need to think about how we're organized. We need to think about how we are organized, not just in the traditional pieces of military hardware, but also how are we organized to deal with cyber disruptions. And as the Chinese, you know, they use the term informationized warfare. It's a different ballgame, and I think we have to structure ourselves differently to deal with that.
Joe, Japan, most recently, the foreign minister has made remarks, surprising many, saying that Japan will come to the aid of Taiwan, that it's important to Japan's self-defense to make sure Taiwan remains a free capitalist republic. Did that surprise you? And we both know, we all know, there's bad history between the mainland China and Japan. Is that a factor here that Japan suddenly has stepped up and said, we're ready to fight?
I think it's very encouraging. And, you know, let's hope other countries stand up and acknowledge that it's in their interest to see this flourishing you know, Han Chinese democracy that is Taiwan continue to flourish. So great development. You know, just a couple of days ago, actually, that Japanese mentioned the importance of the defense of Taiwan and security of Taiwan in its official defense white paper, which is another precedent setting move that certainly drew the ire of China. So yeah, it was encouraging, and let's hope that other countries, whether, we can't expect countries that wanted to maintain a relationship with China to be too strident, but I thought Japan's move was very encouraging, and let's hope other countries find ways that they're comfortable with to express their concern for the security and defense of Taiwan.
A detail, Joe, there's bad history between China and Japan, and in my reading of the 20th century, Japan went way out of bounds as a nation state. The way it treated the Chinese during the occupation, the way it regarded the Chinese prior to the occupation. That complicates all of this, Joe, because they're taking it personally and we're looking at it strategically.
I mean, there is a very tough history. You know, again, those are personal experiences that are kind of aging out at this point, but certainly the memories are going to be long. But yeah, I mean, Japan was a lot of friction, not just China, but many other countries in the region dating back from the 1930s and 40s. So that's a factor, but certainly it's a very, very, very different Japan today than we saw last century. And it's, it's a Japan that's committed to keeping the region free and open and helping to enforce that rules-based order that allows all our countries to flourish.
Final thought, Admiral. Has the United States adequately informed Beijing that this is a red line? Does it know that, Admiral?
I'd be loath to say what the U.S. government has conveyed to Beijing. But I do think that it is important that even without, changing from our policy of ambiguity, that we really need to begin to do things to prepare to protect our interests in the Western Pacific, in the broader Indo-Pacific. And the way that we have to do that is to work with our allies and our partners to begin to look at the world as it is, particularly how China has reshaped the region economically and militarily. And think about how we want to be able to protect our interests, the interests of our allies and partners and friends, and also to stand for countries that seek a democratic future.
Admiral Gary Ruffhead, United States Navy retired, and Professor Joe Felter, both of the Hoover Institution, writing a Strategica about a day we only entertain in our imaginations for now, the day that Taiwan falls. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.